It's official. YouTube, Big Tech, the Vatican, and Pope Francis crack down on traditional Catholics. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Matt coming to you once again from the busy offices of the Remnant newspaper tonight. Actually, we're coming to you from YouTube jail. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. That's
coming from YouTube jail. Another one of our big, bad, dangerous sermons was flagged by the children in Big Tech. I guess we were flagged because our priest quoted Archbishop Carla Maria Vigano on the Great Reset and vaccines.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, the kids on Big Tech were very afraid of that, and so that was flagged. The YouTube pulled that video down. Some of you might have noticed our last sermon. And, of course, we're not allowed to post for the next week. We're in trouble. We're in the doghouse. And that's, for me, you know what? For me, that's good news. The handwriting is not only scrawled all over the wall now, but the wall is closing in all around us. And I'm kind of sick of the whole thing. Kind of had enough of the big tech Christophobes trying to call the shots. Thankfully, God is good. We have a backup plan. So we're going to continue to post on YouTube, I guess, for as long as they're going to let us. But our main focus from now on will be on posting here at remnant-tv.com. That's where it's going to be. So please spread the word and let people know that's what's going on. Also, shout out, thanks, welcome to all of our podcast listeners. I know there's a lot of those now. That's really growing.
That's
available on Spotify. Where else are we? Apple, Google, the usual places. I don't want to forget them, that you know, the podcasters are really coming down strong. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll spread the word. Might be we get to the point where podcasts are all we're going to have if YouTube keeps on going. That's not going to happen, because we have remnant-tv.com. We're really happy about that. So, to the big news. As we predicted last week, the Vatican has taken an unprecedented stand, action, really, against the venerable Roman Rite of the Mass. The mass of history's saints, popes, virgins, martyrs, crusaders, you name it. Even the mass of Pope John Paul the Great's ordination, in fact, but that doesn't seem to matter. He doesn't seem to matter anymore at all, does he? The mass, the only mass that Pope Pius XII would have offered, the only mass that Pius XI offered, Pius X, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Padre Pio, Don Bosco, all the way back to Thomas Aquinas. But there's a problem with that mass for Francis. And you know what? We should do a shout-out to some of our friends in the Vatican, some of these journalists that are over there. They've been taking a lot of heat lately. Discouraging? Yeah. Stupid? Yeah. Ridiculous? Yes. People going after Catholic journalists in the Vatican who have excellent contacts and sources and who sometimes report on what's coming, for example, the Antisemorum Pontificum motu proprio of Francis. These journalists reported on that, and their sources wanted to remain anonymous, rather standard in the world of Catholic journalism. But they were taken to task for that. Oh, you don't know. That's not actually coming. That's rumor. You're just going for clickbait. Well, they've been completely vindicated, those journalists in Rome, those traditional Catholic journalists. Thank God for them. Pray for them. They're right in the belly of the beast now, and we need them. So support the good, authentic, actual Catholic journalists in the Vatican. We need these guys, and they are really doing great work, and they certainly nailed this one. Now, in doing what he's done now, Pope Francis has really outed the entire conciliar revolution like never before. I'm really, in a way, there's a sense that there's a relief. There's a cloud has lifted. The blindfolds have been removed. There's clarity. There's clear vision. We know exactly what they're after now, what's going on over there with Pope Francis. And after 15 months of closed churches, no sacraments, no Eucharist for millions of Catholics, thanks to Pope Francis, who closed down, was so hasty, so eager to close down the Basilica of St. Peter when COVID first got started. After 15 months of that, after all the fear, all the suffering people have gone through, being away from the sacraments, being away from their priests and families, the really totalitarian nightmare, the dreary exhaustion that everyone's been through, along comes the shepherd in white to shut down the few places on earth now where Catholics still bother showing up for Mass. You know, like I said last time, you don't have to be a Catholic to wonder what in thunder Pope Francis is all about. What's he doing? What is he doing? You don't think it's diabolical, the timing of this? Of all things to be concerned about? this little remnant of believers that still goes to the Latin Mass, yeah, that's what he's worried about. And that should actually be very encouraging for all of us. I mean, this man just got out of the hospital. He's, what, 83, 84 years old now? They had to remove part of the papal colon. He's already missing a papal lung, or most of one of the lungs, right? He's not in good shape. And still, he's desperately trying to do something about the traditional Latin Mass. While the news is bringing us the most fantastic, bizarre, apocalyptic stories night after night up in what used to be Catholic Canada, churches burning to the ground. What are we up to? About 20 churches either vandalized or burned to the ground, many of them Catholic church. Is Francis worried about that? Is Francis worried about all of these sodomite liturgies going on all over the place, the rainbow liturgies going on all over the place? Is he worried about the mass defection from the faith? Is he worried that millions of Catholics have left the church? Is he worried that the church in Germany is over, is done, is in schism? No, not Francis. He's worried about us. And honestly, friends, we should be encouraged by this. What we got a hold of, some of us don't realize how important it is, what we're doing here. Obviously, the globalists are freaking out over us right now. And we got to look at why this is. This is not the time to get all discouraged and think we're going to lose and it's all over and nothing left but the fat lady to sing. That's not what this is all about. This is just the beginning. And yeah, you can point this out to your friends, your Protestant friends, your folks around the water cooler at work. People are being gunned down. Like I say, churches burning down all over in Canada. Cities like Chicago, LA, New York, total mayhem. And the Holy Father's worried about this. Here comes Francis to shut down the Latin Mass. Everybody's getting this. Lots of people know something has really gone awry here. Not just Catholics. Everybody's realizing it. I mean, really, Francis? You got nothing better to do? Your holiness? I guess you don't, do you? I guess this is what it's been all about right from the start, isn't it? It goes all the way back to the council and before, doesn't it? Shutting down this mass, shutting down the kingship of Christ, shutting down the Catholic Church. That's what it's all about, right? Because this diabolical New World Order couldn't get off the ground without it. These guys, they hate the mass for a reason. So rather than us going into a panic, oh, they're going to take it away and they're going to shut us down, let's look at why they hate the mass. Even after all these years, the reason they hate it is because they failed to drive it out. They failed to get rid of it. Because people who attend that mass, as statistics show, they tend to believe. They keep the faith. They couldn't get rid of the mass. They can't get rid of the faith, just like the Freemasons down in Mexico under Caius couldn't get rid of it either. Couldn't get rid of the mass, couldn't get rid of the faith during the Cristero War. Even when they were dying, when they were swinging from telegraph poles, what were they doing? Having mass. They were sneaking out in the woods and having mass, weren't they? Because it's more important than anything else to people who realize that death waits for us all, and we got to save our souls somehow, and that's how you do it. You see? So what's going on with Francis? Same old thing. He's just hearkening back to when they fed Christians to the lions, right? When they beheaded people at the French Revolution. I showed you that. It's time for another desperate attempt to persecute the Catholics. They can't get rid of us. Hilaire Belloc, and I share his opinion, by the way. Belloc famously said, I'm going to paraphrase, that when they fire up the persecution again, when they start starving the lions again, when they start sharpening the guillotine blades again, take heart, because it means they failed. It means the revolution has failed. They failed to brainwash us. They failed to drive the faith out of us. It's actually good news. Anything about it, right now, today, in this tolerant world of ours, one can identify as gay, lesbian, maybe a man, a woman, gender fluid, gender neutral, whatever the hell you want, you get to identify with, and the church of accompaniment is going to embrace you. But now how come is it, if what you identify with is actually the faith of our fathers, if you identify as a traditional Catholic, the church of accompaniment is going to tell you to go to hell? And that's what they're doing. Did you read the document? We'll put a link down below. This Anti-Summorum Pontificum document of Pope Francis. It's written by an angry, frustrated little man. No pastoral sense at all. He's ticked off, is what he is. Ticked off. He's the Pope. He doesn't care what's going to happen to us. He doesn't care to all the families and the little children that go to this Mass or raise and knew nothing else but this Mass. It doesn't matter. You identify as a traditional Catholic? Guess what? Identify as something else. Because the Pope of Mercy and Tolerance is ticked off. He doesn't like your Mass. He doesn't like you. Doesn't that just give it all away? The humble, merciful ones over in the Vatican? I guess they're only tolerant of those with whom they agree. And who agree with them. Because if you disagree, well, forget about it. Forget you. You don't exist. That's the message coming from the tolerant, merciful holiness. Again, if you haven't read Pope Francis's Anti-Summorum Pontificum Motu Proprio, just click the link below and give it a read. And the letter that accompanies it is even worse. Now, again, I see this as good news because I see clarity. I see people. I see allies. I see millions right now who are going to stand up against this. So we cannot get discouraged, friends. We cannot get discouraged. Laugh in their face. Point at them and laugh at them, jeer at them, because they're exposed. And we knew this was coming. We knew it was coming. Now it's here. And here's the thing. Let's not forget this part of it all. This has all happened before. Francis, the hippie Pope of Pachamama, has returned us to the halcyon days of long gas lines, felt banners, you know, Jimmy Carter in the White House and Pope Paul VI in the Holy in the Vatican. That's all it is. The 1970s all over again. Because that's when they grew up and that's all they know, these guys. And it's also a place that we know. It's a place that we remember. This is our wheelhouse. Bring it on, Francis. We grew up fighting this and we survived. We made it through stronger than ever. We had our catacomb chapels then. I'm speaking now as a traditional Catholic, grew up a traditional Catholic. We already had our catacomb chapel. I know what that's like. We're ready, willing, and able to go right back down there. This is what it looked like. Now, we'll just let that roll a little bit. This is... I guess we've used this clip a couple of times. We got a lot of clips from the good old days, the way things used to be. And I encourage those of you who are new to the traditional movement to remember, this is what it looked like. This is what was going on. This is what we had been reduced to. Priests coming from all over the world, kicked out of their churches, kicked out of their dioceses because they refused to go along with the revolution. And so they found little enclaves, like my basement chapel when I was a kid. My father and mother rescued that statue, that altar, as I've explained before. So this is what it was. It's my home right there, you know. That's me serving the Latin Mass. That's a pretty cool 80s hairdo, don't you think? Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Serving the Latin Mass a long time ago. If we watch this clip long enough, which I don't think we're going to have time during this program, you'll see actual Michael Davies is in this basement chapel in my home when I was a kid. And he'll come up in a moment there, and he will receive Holy Communion. We'll put that link down below for those of you who want to watch some of the people, the original pioneers of traditional Catholicism, that were going to Masses like that back in the day. So we've been walking in tall cotton for a long time, haven't we? We never, when we were doing this, keeping our faith alive in the homes of our, you know, in the basements of our homes, we never really thought it was going to be as good as it is now with traditional Masses all over the world. So my point is, don't lose hope. Got to keep fighting. What did you think was going to happen? This is the Mass of the Saints. This is the thing they've been trying to get rid of for a long time, the modernists, this modernist revolution. They're trying to kill it. So you got to expect to fight for it. You got to expect for it to be taken away. You got to expect guys like Francis to want to get rid of it. We knew this was coming all along. Now, granted, please God, I hope it doesn't come, you know, go back to this, but it might. And if it does, so be it. We've been there and we'll make it work. God will provide. God wills it. If that's what happens, obviously God wills it. And the thing is, the big picture here, we're all going through this. This has been a bad day for a lot of people. I get it. No, not a lot of people thought this motu proprio Francis was going to be as bad as it is, but in reality, there's just no mystery here. The whole thing was very predictable because it's all about the crumbling facade of the Second Vatican Council. It's all about all those shuttered churches out there, the churches that have been sold over to Muslim groups and other groups to try to pay the financial costs of defending against the greatest disgusting clerical sex scandal in the history of the church. That's the shambles they've made of the human element of Christ's church. It's all about that. It's all about those shuttered churches. It's all about those empty seminaries. It's all about massive loss of faith and folks have just walked away from the church. That's what it's about. It's about that massive clerical sex scandal, you know? All of that versus this international youth movement that is traditional Catholicism. You see? You see decrepit old hippies sitting over there with their beautiful revolution exposing itself as rot and horrific, a rotting cadaver is what it is. Or this beautiful, wonderful flowering of the faith is happening. The very thing they tried to crush 60, 70, 80 years ago. It's all... If you look at it like that, this is quite easy to understand. No mystery here. It's actually a defeat for the Vatican. Again, the human element of the church is signaling their defeat because they tried to silence you. They tried to silence me. They tried to silence all of us, and they failed. They even came along and offered us the traditional mass as long as we swallowed the council, right? They're doing that again right now. And even there, we kept on fighting, didn't we? We didn't fall for it. The Society of St. Pius X, for example, did not take the bait because a lot of this was all about trying to get the Society of Pius X to comply, wasn't it? But they didn't take the bait. And over the past 5-8 years, they've been exhausting themselves, those priests and bishops, proving that they are not schismatic, praying for the local ordinary, praying for the Pope, insisting they're not in schism. See, usually schismatics want to be outside the church. These guys have been trying to prove they're not outside the church. And dealing with a revolution. And now their sainted founder, guess what? Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre has been completely vindicated today. Completely vindicated by what Pope Francis has done.
This life of our Lord Jesus Christ is disappearing everywhere in the conciliar church. They are following roads which are not Catholic roads. They simply lead to apostasy.
Archbishop Lefebvre was right. He was right all along. And history will record him as such. History will see him as right. History will see not only that he's vindicated, but that he's canonized a saint for what he did. Thank you, Francis, for your confirmation that Archbishop Lefebvre is deserving of being raised to the altars of God. Thank you. And then traditional movement in general, this is what Unite the Clans has always been all about. Us coming together, doing the right thing, saving our souls. And the traditional Catholic movement in general, it was supposed to be for little old ladies in tennis shoes, wasn't it? It was supposed to die out after they brought the motu proprio Ecclesiae Dei. It was just going to be a few years and it was going to be over. Little old ladies in tennis shoes are going to die. And so would the traditional Catholic movement. Well, guess what? The traditional Catholic mass movement is a youth movement. Packed out with young priests, young vocations, tens of thousands of young families, little children, the hope of the future, the hope of the church, the hope of the entire world. That's what happened. It backfired, friends. Thanks to you. Thanks to me. Thanks to God. The trap backfired. The traditional movement got so strong that Pope Francis is now making a fool of himself in the eyes of the world, trying to crush it. And let's not forget the Fraternity of St. Peter, because you know what? They never became bi-ritual. You remember all those predictions back after 88? Oh, they were going to start saying both the new and the old mass. They were sellout. They were turncoats. Well, guess what? They didn't. That never happened. Right now, they're being thrown out of Dijon, France. Why? Because they're refusing to celebrate the new mass. They're refusing to concelebrate even the new mass. They're doing the right thing. Thank God for that. And by the way, over the past 25 years, of turning St. Peter has been on the inside, as we said so many times. You had traditionalists on the outside in society, and on the inside, working to undermine what was happening to the church, to strengthen the church, strengthen the faith. So for 25 years, the Fraternity of St. Peter has been going up, knocking on doors of bishops all over the world. And now they've forged good relationships with good bishops, some of whom today have already issued statements saying that they will not change anything about their traditional Latin Mass schedule in their diocese. Thank God for the Fraternity of St. Peter, who worked with these bishops and brought them closer to tradition. Many of them are now huge fans of and advocates of the traditional Latin Mass, these bishops. Archbishop Corleone comes to mind. I'm not going to say too much about these guys, but just Google Archbishop Corleone and see what he had to say today. It's a magnificent statement. He will not be changing the Latin Mass schedule. It's going to stay the same. And there are many others already. I'm not going to name their names, But Your Excellencies, you know who you are. Thank you. God bless you. And we stand with you for what you're doing. Now, many bishops stand with us, stand with the traditional mass, I should say, the traditional mass movement, because Francis fatigue, friends, this is important. It's an important point. Francis is not popular. Francis is jumping the shark every day. Francis is much more, he's much closer to Bill Gates than he is to conservative pro-life bishops in this country. So Francis fatigue is alive and well, and it's very real. And the coming globalist persecution of Christians, it's not going to spare pro-life Catholic bishops, and they know it. The good bishops can already feel the persecution, friends. We need to reach out to them in the days to come. All of them, all of us will become traditional Catholic. I just saw today, EWTN's Raymond Arroyo. He tweeted this out. I'll put this up on the screen. Raymond Arroyo says, quote, "The lack of mercy shown here toward traditional Catholics, Benedict XVI, and the young laity and clergy drawn to the Latin Mass is stunning. This will create the division that Francis claims to cure through his ill-advised and destructive new law," end quote. Thank you very much, Raymond Arroyo. You see what I'm saying, friends? Golden opportunity. Pretty soon, we are all going to be traditional Catholics, those who have kept the faith. And as for the good priests at the diocesan level, oh my gosh, I know what it's like. We know what it's like, what you guys have been suffering in the diocesan structure in many dioceses in this country, most dioceses in this country. It's been tough. But here's what we say as your friends and as your allies, hold your ground, fathers. You are the front lines, on the front line, and we know it. We've known it for a long time. Continue to do the right thing. And you know what? We got to get clever. We got to get smart. This is like the Vendée. You know, we got to go in the woods and we got to beat these guys. So if nothing else, fathers, celebrate the Latin Mass privately on Sunday afternoons. Give this a try. Just leave your church doors unlocked. Don't advertise the Mass because that's a public Mass. Just leave the church doors unlocked and say the traditional Latin Mass. And you know what? We'll be there. We'll back you up no matter what happens. We'll be there. The non-juring priests of the Vendée a couple hundred years ago had to do the same thing. They went into the woods. They offered the Mass in secret for the original traditional Catholics. They baptized their children. They blessed their marriages in the woods. That's how bad it was for them. We're not quite there yet, but we'll go there if we have to, won't we, fathers? We're with you. Don't give up. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep saying the traditional Latin Mass. This night can't last forever. And you're just like, by the way, and this is kind of exciting. Those of you who are going to keep doing this, you're going to keep saying the Mass, and many bishops are going to approve it, but some won't. And for those who don't have sympathetic bishops, you're going to become just like the Irish priests offering Mass at the Mass Rocks 100 years or so ago. More than that, I guess, at this point. And we still tell those stories. You know why we tell those stories? Because those priests were heroes. Because they kept the faith alive. They handed it down to the next generations, right? We tell their stories for that reason. Just like the priests of the Cristeros, who also, with their sainted martyrs, such as Father Miguel Pro, with his arms outstretched, Viva Cristo Rey. I mean, who can possibly get enough of the stories of these great priests? And what were they doing? They were following the lead of Edmund Campion, weren't they? Of Robert Southwell, and all the martyred priests back to St. Stephen, for that matter, who died for their vocation, for their holy calling. As Knights of the Altar, we're with you, fathers. We know you're going to do the right thing. This is the moment. Now it's your turn. History waits on you to do the right thing. We know you're going to. And those of you who are on the fence, we're going to be praying for you to do the right thing. And I think you will. Because it's the Mass that matters. The Mass is the touchstone of the faith. It's all that matters. It's a Mass that mattered then in history, and it's the Mass that matters now. And all the hero priests of history knew that. And the good priests today, they know it as well, and they're going to be heroes. Why? Because this is war. And because you, fathers, are soldiers of Jesus Christ, you know this. I don't need to preach a sermon to you. You know this. You know that the preservation of the faith comes before everything else. That you cannot obey to the point of damaging the faith. That misses the spirit of the law, obviously. If obedience means the faith is harmed, we cannot go along with it. We cannot obey. Faith comes before everything else, especially for good priests, the true knights of the altar. And right now, friends, I know good priests, I know bishops. I've been on the phone all day today. Bishops, theologians, liturgists all over the world who are preparing right now to do battle. You're not alone in this. I know it's a bad day. It's been bad news. You are not alone. I've never seen traditional Catholicism unite, traditional Catholics uniting like we are right now all over the world, because we know what's at stake. We know that Francis is obsessed with crushing, as we said last show, he's obsessed with crushing a tiny remnant of believers in a big bad world full of universal apostasy. And you know why he's obsessed? Because he's a globalist infiltrator, friends. You just got to open your eyes. You know it's true. Listen to the man. Watch what he's doing. Look who his friends are. Infiltrator. It's not a pretty word because it's not a pretty thing, but that's exactly what he is. Don't take my word for it. Go ask Bill Gates or Klaus Schwab or Tony Fauci and Chelsea Clinton, who were recent speakers, honored guest speakers in the Vatican. How much more proof do we really, at the end of the day, need than that? Tony Fauci, an honored guest speaker at the Vatican. You know what's going on here, right? You're not even questioning it. It's so obvious. So Francis and his friends in the Vatican now, when they're not promoting the sustainable development goals of the United Nations, what are they doing? They're worried about the Latin Mass. So today, they actually locked down some more in Pontificum. An insult to Pope Benedict XVI. The predecessor who didn't cooperate by dying soon enough, apparently. They're insulting him. He said that Mass was free. It had never been abrogated. That can't be changed. Francis doesn't have the power to change history. The Mass cannot be outlawed. It can't be abrogated. It wasn't then. It isn't now. And Benedict made that very clear. Very clear. But they're after some more in Pontificum anyway. Why? Because like a crucifix to a vampire, the old Catholic liturgy threatens their diabolical New World Order, into which, obviously, Francis has completely signed up. He's a lifetime card-carrying member of that effort. You know, and over the past 15 months, as we talked about last time, traditional Catholics refuse to give up the sacraments. They refuse to bow and scrape to Big Brother, to globalist Big Brother, right? We never miss Mass. We kept the traditional Mass movement going, despite everything that happened under COVID, and now that movement is booming. Because of the faith and fidelity of the simple people, the families, the priests who refused to back down, you know, and who knew that the sacraments are always essential, including and especially during a pandemic, which really, now that we're not on YouTube, I can say, was nothing more than the flu. Quite frankly, we know that now. So that's I'll close on that. Our globalist Pachamama Pontiff, Pachamama Papa, he's coming after that Mass because it's the thing that united Catholic resistance worldwide. Resistance against, by the way, hell itself. That's what this was. That's what we've been through. Hell on earth, right? That Mass united us all against that hell on earth, because that Mass is preparing hundreds of thousands of children now and young families to keep the faith through the dark days of darkness that are coming. Because it did that, they're going after it. They're shutting it down. Because the faith will survive through those children, through the next generations. And they don't want it to survive, friends. They don't want it to. They've been at war with it for a reason. Because they want it to die. But now, the way things are, it can't be undone. The faith will be handed down through those children, through those young families, through those young priests. It will be handed down. Thanks be to God. And ultimately, they will, what they do, their faith, will lead to the undoing of the New World Order. Francis is abolishing the traditional Latin Mass because it is truth, and because it is the most perfect form of worship, the most perfect worship of God, of Christ the King. And after what happened during COVID, Francis knows now that there's a remnant left that will lay down their lives in defense of that Mass, in defense of their King. So the only recourse he has now is stupid, predictable, clumsy, heavy-handed, disgusting persecution. His revolution, his precious revolution, having totally failed to eradicate the holy faith from the face of the earth. Well played, Catholic brothers. I'm honored to stand with you. Look what we've done together and with God's help. We've infuriated the modernists. And you know what? Francis, today, has only confirmed that your faith, that the faith of your family, the faith of your children, led by your faithful priests, traditionalist priests, that faith is too strong for the new order. Think of it. We talked about honor last time, right? That faith, that thing we believe in, that thing we hope we will die for, we pray we will die for, it's strong enough to take down the entire godless, diabolical world order that they got in mind. They rightly fear that the entire conciliar revolution of Vatican II right now is in peril. Why? Because we refuse to abandon the faith of our fathers. We have shown that. We have shown our promise and commitment to refuse, no matter what. Even a global lockdown will not deter us. We will not abandon the faith of our fathers, and they know it. So now they're coming after us. Whatever, we've been there before. So, bottom line, friends, onward, Christian soldiers. You know what to do. We all know what to do. Stand up, pull yourself up. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't lose the faith. Don't abandon the church. Don't abandon the field. Keep the faith. It's the mass that matters, obviously. Matters most in the world, evidently, to Pope Francis, the globalist tool. It's the mass that matters, so keep it. Protect it. Safeguard it. And for the sake of our country, for the sake of our souls, for the sake of the faith of our families and of our children, we now, with good conscience and righteous anger, can resist Pope Francis to his face for however long it takes until God steps in and saves his church. And that, friends, is exactly what we're going to do. So help us God, that's what we're going to do. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Be of good cheer. Keep the faith. We're going to get through this. We will get through this. Long live Christ the King, and we'll see you next week.